anyway, we spent a good amount of time talking about output controls and why they're better for fisheries. We also described why Derby fisheries are bad, and these are the issues that I was trying to highlight yesterday that are a huge problem in the herring fishery. We did not include sectors in the amendment at this point because of limited resources was the rationale that people said it would take too much time. So I would like to make a motion that the council include a placeholder in Amendment 4 to allow the industry to develop a proposal for sectors or other LAP in the Atlantic herring fishery. And the rationale is that it would limit the workload for the PDT, allow the industry to spend some time and narrow the scope of alternatives. Motion, if I get a second, maybe we could have a discussion.
We already dealt with that yesterday. And
well, excuse me. Thank you, John.
We don't have a second yet, but the opportunity existed yesterday twice for the council to make that motion.
Well, this is different than the discussion we had yesterday.
No, there was an opportunity. Peter Moore came to the table and suggested it. And someone on the council also mentioned it, but there was never a motion made yesterday on this point.
So you're saying the motion is out of order?
I am. Anything further? Pat?
Sorry, to respond to the question about the timelines. Let's try to read it from this one. I was hoping to get it on the big screen, but let's see. Sectors may change their rosters for 2010. The only hard deadline for a final roster is September 1, 2009. That's the date when operation plans, EAs, and signed contracts are due. However, we can't calculate the ACEs, the ACEs, or whatever we're calling them, until we have the final roster. So we did send a letter out in June that explains that sectors can submit their final roster at any time up until the September 1, 2009 date, but they must submit the final roster 60 days ahead of when they want their ACEs to calculate to include in their plans. So basically the sector has to back up from whatever date they expect to finalize their plan and add 60 days to it. We also sent a letter out recently just to the sector managers and representatives, including sort of updating the timeline and in some ways liberalizing it a little bit. What we've said is we're no longer going to wait until you have all of your confidentiality waivers before we provide you with the information. We're going to do it as we get it. So we'll do it on basically a boat by boat basis instead of waiting for the entire group to be finalized. And I think that's it. Does that answer the question,
David?
Yes, thank you, Pat. It does raise one further question. That's on those confidentiality waivers. Have we come up with a universal language that's acceptable for a confidentiality waiver yet that the people who apparently thought they had them but find out they really don't? In other words, the language they had was deemed unacceptable. If we get something where they can try and start tracing back the previous owners of these permits and get them to sign the correct language so they can get their information.
There actually was a template provided in the June letter for folks to use.
Okay, so if they take the language from that June letter and they get whatever the owner trail of that permit is to sign that language, that will satisfy the confidentiality issue. Alrighty, thank you.
Anything further? Peter?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't want to get between people and long commutes in some respects, but I did want to make myself available on the topic of Atlantic wolffish. On October 1st, as probably everyone here knows, Conservation Law Foundation and two individuals filed a petition under the Endangered Species Act. The purpose of that petition is to have the U.S. population of Atlantic wolffish listed as an endangered or threatened species under the Act. I understand from Tom's earlier discussion we may have mischaracterized, you know, who did what in terms of whether or not this fish went forward as a managed species under the groundfish plan. I think the to the extent that's true, it was unintentional. The fact of the matter, though, is that this species is an unmanaged species. The scientists we've consulted with have suggested that because of its habits and characteristics, it's perhaps one of the most perfect examples of a candidate for extinction in our fisheries in the U.S. And the process for this, as I understand it, it has been filed with the regional office. The regional office will be the lead on it for evaluating the petition. The service will have to make a respond to the petition within 90 days if possible. Again, my understanding is that the service will put a Federal Register notice out indicating that it has received the petition and soliciting comment during that 90-day period. And if there is a positive determination that there's a possibility that a endangered listing is warranted based on the evidence that's in the petition, the service at that point would launch a status review of the species that would, in general, have to conclude within 12 months of the date of the filing of the petition. If people have questions, there is copies of the full petition are available on our website. We also have CDs of most, but not all, of the literature references that are in the petition available to folks who want to take a look at that. And I'm available for any questions here or later about where we're going with that.
Any questions for Peter? Okay. Thanks, Peter.
Yep.
Anything further? See you in November. Meeting adjourned.